right, Psalms 127 this morning. I'm going to have you turn there, but I'm going to read just from a verse in 1 Samuel. And then we'll get into the message this morning. And this morning we're going to be looking at good mothers. So Psalms 127, and we'll get there in just a moment. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Lord, as we come before you this morning, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house on this Lord's Day, but not only this Lord's Day, but Mother's Day. Just ask you to meet with us as your word is open. Ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say as we look at what good mothers do. Thank you, Lord, for the good mothers that we have here today. And just ask you to meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I read something that said about 6 million children will be born in the United States this year. Very few of them will actually grow up in a Christian home. And only a small percentage of those in Christian homes will be given to God. What does this mean? It means more kids will be born into homes that have saved parents than homes where the parents give their children to God. What does it mean to give your children to God? Well, for one, when you give your children to God, it means that your desire for them is what God's desire for them is. And as a result, you give them to God for Him to be able to fulfill His desire in them. We're going to look at four things this morning about giving your children to God. Number one, good mamas recognize that their children are a gift from God. In Psalms 127, we see, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So apart from the gift of salvation and the gift of life, children are the greatest gift that you could ever receive from God. They are God's gift to a home. They're God's gift to a church. They're God's gift to a nation. God's gift to a world. Children are a gift from God. Be thankful this morning for the gifts that have been given to you by God. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Heritage means in Scripture, the saints or people of God are called His heritage as being claimed by Him in objects of His special care. So emphasis on objects of His special care. God gives special care, special attention to children. Now, how do we learn how to parent? We learn how to parent by how God parents us. And I want you to be reminded of something this morning, that God is a better provider for your kids than you and I will ever be. A good mother allows the Lord to raise His children through her. God can love them greater than she will ever be able to. He knows their every need, in and out. She does not. He knows their thoughts. He knows the contents of their hearts. He knows what is best for them in every way, and she does not. He can protect them. They are His heritage. And I can tell you today that my wife would agree with me. We would rather God have our sons than us. We cannot raise God. We cannot raise kids to love God in our own strength. We can't raise kids that will serve God in our own strength. We can't raise kids to please God with their every step, with their every day of their life in our own strength. We know it. And we've seen too many other parents try. And their kids, not in church, not serving God, don't love God. They do what they want, say what they want, go where they want, because parents decided to raise their children instead of letting God raise them. You and I cannot raise them like He can. And good mamas and daddies give their kids to God for Him to raise them. You do this in part by raising your children around the things of God, raising your children up in church, teaching them to be a servant in church, ensuring that they're in the Word at home, in prayer at home. You're seeking to teach them by example on how to walk with God in spirit and in truth, not just truth, but in spirit. You can teach truth and they'll know truth, but if it's not spirit, then they'll not know God. They'll just know about God. Because the Spirit's been left out of it all. So many parents have said, I got this, when it comes to their kids, and come to find out they didn't. Children are the fruit of the home. Jesus is the true vine. You give your kids to Him, they stand the best chance out of any to be good fruit. If you don't, they'll be the fruit that you and I can produce. In Genesis 33, verses 4 through 5, We notice this. Children are graciously given by God to parents. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and the children and said, who are these with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. So it's God's grace that has been bestowed upon us if we have children. His grace is manifested upon you by giving them to you, but He gives them to you for a purpose. He has a purpose for their life, but His desire is that you give them back to Him to fulfill that purpose. If you have children, they are the greatest investment opportunity that you have on this earth. You can forget stocks, you can forget bonds, you can forget IRAs and 401ks and real estate. Forget all that up next to investing in your kids. And you know, investing takes time. You have to be around them. You have to spend time with them. You have to pour yourselves into them, train them, teach them, discipline them in the ways of the Lord. Also, good mamas recognize that her children are not hers to keep. You know, I didn't realize this till I became a parent, but parents are naturally possessive of their children. But they're only ours to rear for the Lord and for His glory. This can be a difficult thing for many parents. You know, the tendency at times is to hold them close, to keep them away at times from all others. However, tragically, we shield them at times from God's plan and will for their lives. Parents tell their kids, in essence, you can pray, you can read your Bible, you can go to church, you can have fun at kids' class, youth group, you can go to all the camps, but I can't let you go to the mission field. You'll be gone for years at a time. We'll hardly ever get to see our son-in-law or daughter-in-law. We'll hardly ever get to see our grandkids. You'll miss so much here on the home front. We will miss so much also. We'll miss birthday parties and Christmas and anniversaries and other holidays and special occasions. So I can't give you to God in that way, or encourage you in that way. Many, tragically, will try and talk their children out of a call of God on their life. I know a missionary family right now who has strained relations with one side of their family, and it all comes back to one reason, and that's the mission field. Part of me, when Evan surrendered to the call to preach, wanted to protect him from the ministry. There'll be a lot of hurt at times in the ministry. There'll be a lot of pain in the ministry. There'll be a lot of rejection at times in the ministry. There'll be a lot of abandonment at times in the ministry. There'll be long days. There'll be long nights. There'll be early mornings. There will be sleepless nights. There'll be loneliness in spurts. People will try and control you, try and control what you think, what you believe, which would control how you preach. The forces of hell will have a target on his back, and at times Christians will be too. He'll be an enemy to many, even more so the older that he gets, and as the world gets worse. Part of me wanted to protect him, but I had to go back to all those years previous Where I said, Lord, I give him to you. Do with them. Do with them what you would have to, what you'd have them to do. Take them where you want to take them. Use them how you want to use them. I'm giving them to you. Part of me wanted to take him back. We as parents, we can be naturally possessive at times of our kids. So I recognize that in the ministry and the call to preach, yes, it's a tough road ahead of him, but I'll tell him not to quit. You only leave a place for one reason. That's because God said to. You don't quit. You take every last bit of it, but you don't dare quit. You take it all and you continue to stand. You continue to fight. You stay. You guard your heart, lest it get hardened from the pains and the trials of ministry. A bitter preacher might as well find something else to do because God left that ministry a long time ago. Some parents have said, I can't let you go off to Bible college. I can't let you preach. That'd be too much. Don't you want to be a doctor or something? A lawyer or something? But a preacher, I can't let you be a preacher. Be something more with your life. Notice also the most difficult thing at times for parents is trusting God with their children. But I'm reminded of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I believe this could be applied to child rearing also, that we have to trust God with our children. We give them to him and then we trust him with what he does with them. We cannot lean on our own understanding, wishes and desires. That's fine up next to anyone else on this earth, but God gave them to you and not them. You cannot hold your children back from God. They're his more than they're ours. You know, you can hold them back from God and God's will for their life, but you cannot control how far in opposition they'll go. Told y'all before, I was in Bible college with an RU student, I believe I told y'all this, who surrendered to preach and he was living in his parents' house. His parents professed salvation. They wanted him off cocaine, but they didn't really want him preaching either. They wanted him off cocaine, but they didn't really want him in Bible college either. His dad kept saying, you'd make more money if you'd do something else. You're spending money to go to Bible college that you could be saving. Classes were at 7, 8, 9. 9 p.m. class was ending at 10. His dad said, well, you got to be home by 10 or the door is going to be locked. He just have to sleep outside, sleep in his car, someone else's house. A week later, a young man quit Bible college and went full blown back into his addiction. Left the state. I found him in Pennsylvania, sat down with him over coffee, and it all became too much. And he broke. His parents back in Ohio scratching their heads. What happened to my son? He was doing so good, and now he's back on cocaine. People sometimes have a desire that their kids be caught in the middle. Hang out in the lukewarm. Not out in the world full time, but not all out for God full time either. I'm one of those. My life is a testament of it. I can't be in the middle. I was all out for the world when I was out in the world. I was all out for the world. And I try to be all out for God. Now, some people can't be middle people. Whatever they're doing, they're going to go at it hard. Whatever they do, they're going to go at it all in. We got to decide. We either want our kids to be all out for the world or all out for God. You can plan on that middle ground, but that don't mean that's where they're going to hang out. Number three, good mamas give her children back to God. So this is a deliberate decision that parents make. It's a connection between the parents and the Lord. Parents have to say, God, I give them to you. You can have them. And then give me the strength to keep it that way. Because we can give our kids to God and then we can take them back. You know as well as I do, we can do that with our kids just like we do that at times with everything else. Here, Lord, I give this to you and then give it back, Lord. I want to handle it now. We've all done that. Notice Romans 8:28. Parents must follow biblical principles in rearing their children and trust God to direct their lives. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together to good, for good to them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose. So we have to ask ourselves, what all does the all apply to? This would include our children. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, there's a lot of people claiming this promise. Their kids may have them scratching their head today, wondering what happened and what went wrong and things like that. A lot of parents are claiming this promise. Number four, good mamas know that her children are to learn about God in the home. You know, instruction begins in the hearts of parents. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So we must instruct our children. We need to take advantage of teaching opportunities when they arise. See, I'm all for not sparing the rod, as Scripture states, but if all we do is run for the rod and we don't teach them why they should not behave that way, then when they leave the house and they leave the fear of the rod, if they haven't been taught why they don't do certain things and why God is against things, then their conscience hasn't been trained. Sometimes we've all been, and I've heard it and stuff said before from different people. They say, you know what, I'm going to beat it out of them. Well, sometimes you beat it further into them. Got to be careful with that. Kids need to know why, especially the older they get. When they're younger, they don't really know how to reason as much. They're learning to reason. They're learning to put things together. They're developing their opinions and preferences and beliefs and convictions. During those times, it's time to sit down and start talking with them some more, discussing things. Because, again, we can go about it all the wrong way, saying, well, I won't beat it out of them. Again, sometimes a lot of times, that's not the way to go. You beat it further into them. I think about the scripture where it talks about fathers not provoking children to wrath. You tick somebody off, then you lost them. And I'm constantly thinking about that even as a dad, because I want to instruct my children. I want to discipline them properly, but I don't want them to get angry and stay angry either. Because I know what it's like to be angry. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to get angry and reject everything and everybody around me. I know what that's like. Children need instruction. Teach your children diligently. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when it comes to instruction, when it comes to teaching our children, we should teach them diligently. When you think of the word diligently, it means with steady application and care, with industry, not carelessly, not negligently. I'm kind of introverted by nature, so sometimes talking in general can be a challenge, but the Lord's been working on me more here lately, especially as the boys get older, that I need to be talking to them more. Need to be having more conversations with them. Need to be spending more time with them. Talking doesn't come easy to me by nature. I'm not up here because I'm extroverted. I'm up here because the Lord called me to. Didn't make sense to me when he did it, and sometimes it still don't make sense to me because I'm introverted, but I do it anyway. Because that's what the Lord called me to do. And the Lord's been challenging me that I need to talk more, need to communicate more, need to communicate with my sons more. Certain conversations that just need to be had. The Lord's been challenging me on that. But teaching our children diligently. And you know what? Kids do need their dads around. They do. I know this is Mother's Day, but it'll help the mothers. If dad's around more, if dad's more invested, it'll help the mothers. It'll lighten her load. She'll be thankful. She'll be saying, thank you, Pastor, for hitting on that one, because it'll be a blessing to her when Dad's more involved. Believe it or not, and kids just know, and the Bible refers to ladies as the weaker vessel. Kids know who the weaker vessel is. Kids know whose buttons they can push a little bit more than others. Kids know that. My boys know that. You can tell at times who they've spent more time around. Boys know. But we're to teach them diligently. And again, the Lord's been working on me that I need to communicate with them more. I need to teach them more. And as times come up, I try to take advantage of the opportunity to be able to instruct and teach them more. You know, the window to teach our children in the grand scheme of things is a short one. Sometimes I think about this. It is short. It's amazing. I used to be, I'm still young, but I used to be the real young one. And the old timers would come around and say, before you know it, you're going to be my age. And I didn't believe them. I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't believe them. They told me, before you know it, you'll be 80. You'll be my age. I did not believe them. You know, in your mind, you're just going to be young forever. That's the way you're thinking. Sometimes you say, I'm going to be young forever. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how you got to where you got, but I ain't going to end up there myself. You know, and that's kind of the mindset. But I'm younger. But I'm reminded now, because I got one that, you know, Evan, I mean, he'll be 16 this year and talking Bible college, and before long he's going to be there. I mean, I'm just reminded of how little time. And to be honest with you, to some degree, it scares me to death, because you think about your kids launching, so to speak, from the home, from the house, and you're thinking, man, you start rethinking stuff, you start reassessing stuff, and you start saying, man, I hope I've done everything I could. I hope I've done things, you know, the right way, and I hope I trained them right. I hope I raised them right. And you're going through all these different things, and honestly, I'm scared to death, because because I left home and left the Christian school and lost my mind out in the Marines. So I worry. I worry some about my boys. I hope they do right. I hope they make the right decisions. I hope they follow the Lord. But I'm reminded that time is quickly passing. Our window with our children is a short one. If they live to a good old ripe age, they'll spend more time living without you in the home than with you. It's a short period. Short period in our home for us to instruct them, for us to raise them. And then once they're out, they're out. It needs to be day to day, as often as the opportunity presents itself. I appreciate my wife in homeschool. She's able to talk with them and things about the Bible and teach them in ways, and partly the Lord was using her to convict me that I needed to be teaching more. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm introverted, though. I don't like to talk. I like to sit and think. That's what I like to do. I like to sit and think. I like to sit and meditate on stuff. But listening at times to her teach the boys about different things and different concepts and things about, you know, walking with the Lord and about the Bible, the Lord was kind of using that to kind of stir it up in my heart that I needed to be doing more of that. So as parents and as mothers, this is the challenge to give our children to God. You know, dad can give the kids to the Lord, but if mama doesn't, it's a house divided. And mom can give the kids to the Lord, but if daddy don't, it's a house divided. And fruit from a lopsided house can't help but be lopsided. So just four things real quick this morning. Good mamas recognize that their children are a gift from God. Good mamas recognize that her children are not hers to keep. Good mamas give her children back to God. And good mamas know that her children are to learn about God in the home. And that's the important thing, in the home. I don't have the passage right here in front of me, but Paul outlines it. Basically said, if you're relying on the church to train your kids and raise your kids, and you're not going to live out any of it at home and teach on it at home and practice it in the home, that little exposure ain't going to be it. It's not going to be enough. It's not. In the home. They need instruction in the home. And I'm thankful for good moms. Thankful for them. We need them. We do need them. I'd hate to see how lopsided my boys would be if they were raised by me without their mama to balance me out. They'd probably be me times 10. So I appreciate her balancing me out. There's times I'm being too serious. I need to be reminded, hey, you're being too serious. She balances me out. So I appreciate that. She appreciates it when I balance her out. Sometimes not always at first. Either one of us, we don't always accept it too well at first, if we're going to be honest. When in the process of being balanced out, you're over here and somebody's trying to bring you back to a little bit more to the middle. We don't always appreciate that at first. But in hindsight, you were right. You were right. And I appreciate how she balances me. I appreciate that. And I appreciate her help and her care for the boys. And again, I appreciate our mothers. I'm still getting to know, people here in the church. But I'm thankful for our good mothers. I appreciate that. And I know the Lord does. And I know your kids do. Your kids will look back and they'll always remember their childhood. They'll never forget that. And so I am thankful for our mothers. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity.